Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
All right, so today we're talking about a really interesting program. The acronym is JARC, and it's a new manufacturing-focused job training hub that's officially opening its doors in Providence. We're recording this on Friday, so this will be released on Monday morning. So you're hearing this, meaning that this is the big week for JARC. So I guess if each of you want to introduce yourselves, just so we can sort of associate the person with a voice, and then we'll get into it. We'll start with Reagan.
Sure. Well, I'm Reagan Brewer Johnson. I'm the president of Jane Addams Resource Corporation, or JARC, and I'll leave it at that for now.
Nice. So succinct. Well done.
I'm Lindsay Brickle. I am the director of Workforce and Community Partnership for Polaris MEP and the URI Research Foundation.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for making the time. This is a cool program. Let's start with the parent organization, the Jane Addams Resource Corporation. Reagan, if you can tell us about it and where else this program operates.
Absolutely. So Jane Addams Resource Corporation was founded in 1985 in the Ravenswood Industrial Corridor in the city of Chicago. There's about 20 or 25 industrial corridors here in Chicago. And we lost about 7,000 jobs in a very small area from the late 70s into the early 80s. So our organization was founded to try to keep those jobs in the area, to try to keep the companies in the area. And so primarily those were metalworking companies at that time. So our founding executive director began talking with those companies to find out what it would take to keep them in the neighborhood, and it was primarily workforce issues. So they needed workers that could read blueprints, that could do shop math, that could operate their machinery safely. And so we started working with those companies to train their workers. And that's how we got our niche in manufacturing and very specialized in metalworking. And so we primarily focus on machining, metal forming, welding, you know, anything that relates to metals. And so over the years, we were working with companies to train their existing workers, to upskill their workers. And around the 90s is when we started working with job seekers. And so we currently work with both existing workers to upskill and also a new hire pipeline. And so primarily continuing to focus on manufacturing, continuing to focus on all things metals. However, you know, we are also looking forward to Industry 4.0 and what that's going to mean for the sector and how we can make sure that we're adapting and growing to train the workforce of both today and tomorrow. One other thing I'll add to that, in addition to just the technical skills training, we provide a variety of supportive services, primarily for our new hire pipeline so that they can be successful during their training as well as post-placement. So that includes things like public benefits screening, work readiness, digital literacy skills, financial education, and financial coaching, as well as just emergency support as needed for things like, you know, my car broke down or can't pay the utility bill, things like that. So as much as we can support kind of the whole household to make sure that that individual is successful through training and then, you know, successful in their career post-placement, we want to be there to support that individual. So that's kind of who we are.
Yeah, that's a great overview. You know, it's really interesting because one thing that we hear so frequently in Rhode Island, and I'm sure it happens all over the place, but in Rhode Island, we hear often, hey, companies don't want to do business in Rhode Island. They don't want to come and set up shop in Providence because there's not a sufficient workforce. And people will try to trace that back, sometimes accurately, to school performance on standardized testing or whatever the case may be. But we're in an era now that is, the workforce is being defined by specificity in new and nuanced job training. And so as manufacturing returns to American soil, I mean, this isn't Fox News, by the way. We're not talking about American soil exclusively. But as we start to get back into that space, I think it's so critical that we have a pipeline exactly like you're doing. So the Rhode Island hub that's going to open up next Friday, it's going to be on Sims Avenue, which is a fantastic district where there's a lot of artisan and nuanced projects that take place right over there in that part of Providence. This will be JARC's first presence here in Rhode Island. So, Lindsay, talk about that. What skills can somebody learn at JARC Rhode Island?
So, it is good to say that JARC has been working on incumbent worker training in Rhode Island, for the past few months. So it has been operating on some level. The opening is of the physical facility with the new hire training. And Polaris MEP has really partnered with JARC to bring employer-driven programs to Rhode Island. So matching the current and anticipated future need of the Rhode Island manufacturing community in order to prepare people and get people into these high growth manufacturing careers. So this will start with the launch of the computer numeric control CNC manufacturing program, with the idea that in future years we'll be expanding to robotics and additive manufacturing as well.
What's your role going to be in all of this, Lindsay?
So this was a true partnership. We were introduced by the Department of Labor and Training to JARC a few years ago, and went out to Chicago to see how they operate, and just knew that this would be a perfect program to create access and broaden the workforce pipeline. JARC really meets the need for serving folks that traditionally have not had access to good career training and pathways, so people that have been systematically excluded from that process. So there aren't a lot of programs in the state that are reducing barriers in a comprehensive way in order to get folks up to the level, so that we have some great CNC pathways in Rhode Island. CCRI and New England Tech are great real jobs partners that we've worked with a lot in the past. And this is expanding the access to those programs to folks that are coming in with maybe more barriers, that need a little bit more support. A lot of the justice involved community, a lot of folks that might be coming in between a fifth and ninth grade math and literacy level. So JARC is really well positioned to broaden the workforce pipeline by training folks that otherwise wouldn't have access.
And Reagan, your role is more of, I'm guessing, more of an umbrella role, kind of sharing where this program has been successful in other places and best practices, things like that.
Yeah, so we have been operating in three sites in Chicago and one in Baltimore. And so I oversee all of those operations as well as the Rhode Island operation. And I've been with the organization since 2008. So I've done a lot of jobs here. And so, I can speak to kind of the model and how it should function. And, we have our sort of established ways that we do things. In terms of, we want to make sure that we're including support services and financial education and all of those things we think are equally important to the skills training. But we also know that the populations that we serve in different areas do look different. So we want to make sure that we are taking that model and customizing it to the needs of the local areas as well as the manufacturing sector. And so that's where we partner really closely with Polaris MEP to be that employer voice for us and to organize the employer voice, so that when we're thinking about, our curriculum, we want to make sure that it is customized and tailored to meet the needs of the employers in Providence and in Rhode Island.
Yeah. Lindsay, if you could talk about some of the funding partners, because this stuff doesn't happen for free usually.
Yeah, we have a braided funding stream. We have support. So Polaris MEP and the URI Research Foundation is a manufacturing intermediary with the Real Jobs Program. We've been able to bring with our other, like through our partnerships, other CNC pathway and advanced manufacturing pathways. We have support from the Real Jobs for this program, as well as foundation support from Rhode Island Foundation, the Autodesk Foundation, the PETO Foundation, PETO Opportunity Connection, well as an MS Rowland Funder Foundation that wishes not to be named. So we do have braided funding sources, and that part of that model is echoes what JARC does in other states to make sure that like shifts in funding aren't going to jeopardize the training at all.
That makes perfect sense. So, when we talk about workforce development in the manufacturing sector, why is this so important? And let's take that even one step further, because let's be honest about it, there's a real need for equitable, more accessible job training opportunities in this sector. And we can go even further and hyper-localize this, particularly here in Rhode Island. So, the overall mission, why is this important?
So I can answer this too. I know that work we've been doing over the past few years is about creating access to good career pathways. So making sure that everyone has access. So that means if you might not be a traditional student, you might have to earn while you learn. If you're, as you're graduating high school, you might want to go to college, but maybe you can't go right now. Maybe college isn't the right path for you. Maybe you're not sure. We want to make sure that there are career pathways that create a livable wage for folks, regardless of what they choose to pursue in terms of post-secondary education. This is a great option for that, and there are really good career pathways that you don't need a college degree for, but you can also get stackable credentials and college credit to continue your education over time. Advanced manufacturing has a lot of potential in that area, and part of the work we're doing is making sure people understand what manufacturing can look like now, like what advanced, like robotics, CNC, additive. It's not, a lot of people say like my granddad's manufacturing, right? It's not the same, doesn't have the same environment that people traditionally think of as manufacturing, and it's important to let folks understand that and understand that they can, support families and move from poverty to stability to wealth generation, which is what JARC does so well.
Yeah, that's exactly it as well. I'm sure is the idea is these are good paying jobs. We hear that term so often, it's become a little bit of a political catchphrase. And you ask yourself, well, what does that mean? How sustainable is that? What a good paying job could be for a day, but it'd mean a good paying career. Now, there's something that's a lot different. So let's look ahead. You're cutting the ribbon this Friday on Sims Avenue. For the facility, as you mentioned, you've been planting the seeds and been on the ground to an extent over the last several months. But let's talk about long-term goals. And do you have a number in mind as to how many people you're trying to support through the program in its first year?
Yeah, so I mean, we are what the way that our program works is that we are open entry, open exit. So we will start with an initial group, but as we get applicants to the program that we think are a good fit, we'll just get them enrolled. So we don't have, this is our start date and this is an end date for the program. So, when all is said and done, we are looking at maybe 80 to 100 individuals, but we also know that we want to add some programs. We want to be able to add robotics and add additive manufacturing. And so we look at this as sort of our, proving ourselves to the community and to our partners that we're here and that we're real and that we want to be, a part of the workforce development system in Providence, but we also want to grow and scale. In addition to that, we do want to serve our employer partners through, as Lindsay mentioned, incumbent workers, which is those existing workers that we can upskill and hopefully create some vacancies on the entry level that we can then fill with our new hire pipeline. So we're looking at, we can serve anywhere between 200 and 400 existing workers through upskilling as well in any year's time.
Yeah. So the upskill component of any sector is such an important thing that I think is often overlooked. That's an anecdotal statement, but it's something that advancement, and then in doing so, as you literally just said, it opens up those entry level slots so that the pipeline is constantly moving forward. All right. Last question here. I'll ask Lindsay this one because you're going to be on the ground in Rhode Island. What do you need to do to make this grow and succeed? An initiative is one thing, success over a measurable period of time is oftentimes another thing. What do you need? What do you see as the pathway to success?
I think that we need authentic partnerships with a variety of different stakeholders. So it's not only about funding. I mean, obviously we need funding in order to pay our staff and buy materials and run machines and pay the rent and all that fun stuff. But we also really need, authentic relationships with employers. We need partnerships with community organizations because we can't do everything. So, we don't provide, for example, legal aid assistance. We need partners to help us with that. We don't necessarily house people if they become unhoused during the program. We need partners that can help support individuals in that way. So just a variety of different community partnerships, employer partnerships, funding partnerships. We want to be in this for the long haul. This isn't, we're going to come in and run a program and see how it goes. We are really committed. We have a great partnership with Polaris MEP. We're really married to them. And that's kind of the analogy that I've been using. We want to make sure that it's sustainable and it requires, the whole kind of, community approach to making sure that it's successful.
Reagan, Lindsay, thank you so much for your time. JARC is here and the doors... Well, the ribbon will be cut on Friday, and let's keep in touch because I'd love to keep tabs, not from a supervisory role, but from a curiosity role because, we're in a state here, and you may have experienced this, Reagan, where there are minds and there's energy towards innovation and moving forward and trying to think and, dare I use the word progressive without, somebody smashing a pie in my face right now, but... there's also a tendency to think in terms of, we've got the beach, we've got what we need, we're all set. And sometimes there's a lack of innovation. And it does seem like more of an uphill battle here sometimes than in other places around the country. So a program like this seems like it's an initiative that is both progressive, but also marries, again, using that word, with traditional approaches to job training, and it seems like it actually has a chance to really work. So I appreciate both your time very much.
Yeah, thanks for having us. And for folks that are interested and want to learn more, our website is jarcri.org, jarcri.org. So head over there and you can find information on how to apply to our programs or just how to get more involved with what we're doing.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.